Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4.something Michael O'Neill, and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-sized pickleball podcast where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode. I'm Michael O'Neill here in very sunny Long Beach, California, joined by my good pal, Mr. Scott Fliegelman there in Boulder, Colorado. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Michael. How are you post-NPL Combine?
I am fantastic, actually, and we're actually going to talk about something today that was sort of a brainchild of the results of the Combine and what I witnessed and how I want to tweak my game because of it. So we're going to get into that, which will be great. Before we do that, folks, if you want to get a carbon paddle, that's CRBN, like Scott and I both play, you can get 10% off your order by using the promo code 402P at checkout at carbonpickleball.com, CRBNpickleball.com. And believe it or not, you guys, I've actually added a little 402P swag to the make'emhit.com store. So make'emhit.com, M-A-K-E-E-M-H-I-T.com. I made a little 4.0 to Pro hat and a hoodie. So if you guys want to check out one of those, go on out and check those out. And today, Scott, we're going to talk about something that I've literally only seen in the highest level pickleball games. And that is the snap, the last millisecond snap that pros do and 5-0s do to get the kind of shape on the ball that they want versus the long, slow stroke that we might see from someone who came from tennis. And this concept is a bit of a subset of our episode 32 concept, which was the one-inch punch. It's the Bruce Lee episode that you have coined the one-inch punch. And when I left the combine the other day, I kept thinking paddle speed, paddle speed, paddle speed. I need to work on my paddle speed. Yesterday when I was on the court, I started experimenting with it. And dude, I couldn't believe the amount of shape that I got on the ball and the consistency that increased on my thirds and on my dinks. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. This is my topic today, and it's a bit of a complex one to try to describe, but I hope you're here for it.
Well, I'm here for it, and I'm looking forward to your professional expertise to guide us through this. I have some obviously strong thoughts on the subject. As I've said before, I feel like in pretty much any stick and ball sport, we need to accelerate through the hitting zone. Deceleration is a surefire way to miss our target. So hopefully we're on the same page, and I'm ready to go when you are.
Well, very much so. Before we jump into kind of the details of this, why don't you give a few examples of some sports where it's obvious that the higher level players are really accelerating through that shot?
I reference golf a lot of the time, especially when working with 3-5 plus players in and around the non-volley zone. Golf is a great example of the low handicappers, the better players, always accelerate through the hitting zone. I think of a greenside chip, and I think of a 10-foot downhill putt. They modulate their backswing perfectly. They do not take too big of a backswing, which can get them into trouble, especially if they decelerate through the hitting zone. So we want to be thinking the same thing. That's where the one-inch punch came from. If you want great examples of this on the pickleball court, look no further than Annalee Waters, who I had a chance to watch a little bit last weekend. And boy, especially on that forehand and the backhand dink, she sets the paddle in exactly where it needs to be in front of her body, hardly any backswing, and then moves aggressively through the hitting zone. And Michael, I think that's what you're finding, is you're not, what I like to sometimes say is, you're not pushing and guiding and hoping and praying. You are taking control of the shape and the direction of your dink, or as we move back in the court, your mid-court reset, or even with a drop shot by accelerating through the hitting zone. So other stick and ball sports, boy, baseball, they set up in the batter's box with the bat in the perfect position, ready to accelerate through the hitting zone. Most people don't get that wrong. I think of billiards. An amateur billiards pool player may draw the cue back a little too far and then push the ball and it doesn't go where you want it to go. Whereas an expert billiards player takes the cue back only as far as needed and then aggressively strikes the cue ball toward their target ball. So those are only a few. Maybe you've got a couple others. What do you think?
Yeah, I keep thinking when I'm on the court, paddle speed, paddle speed, paddle speed. I know all of the examples that you're talking about. They are completely spot on. The pro that I have watched do this that I really noticed was James Ignatowicz. He does it on his two-handed backhand roll dink. If you guys look that up on YouTube, just watch him in a tournament and you'll see that he really sets his paddle and then he snaps. I keep thinking of this word snap. This is not a slow motion. This is an aggressive, you said aggressive, I almost wanted to say violent. It's a very confident, intentional brush on the ball with the intent of the highest amount of Z's possible. Scott and I played Ultimate Frisbee, dude, I think it was 26 years ago.
We were so little.
We used to talk about Z's on the disc, and that is how many RPMs that disc is flying. When it's windy, you needed more Z's because it helped the thing cut through the wind a lot more. We want to get a lot of Z's on this ball so that we can get not only it to cut through the wind, but we can get the shape that we are envisioning this ball to go in. So it's even another step beyond just accelerating through it. There's a real snap. And the motion of the stroke is quick. It's confident. I can see it being like rolls from the non-volley zone. If you guys are all standing at the NVZ and you've got your training partner or an opponent hitting you a ball, they're trying to drop it. Ideally, your knees are bent. Your paddle is extended out into the non-volley zone already. So think of this as the batter in the batter's box. And it's cocked and ready for the stroke that you're going to hit versus the guy that I was playing with yesterday, where they would be hitting that third and he would do almost this windmill thing where he ended up actually catching, this guy's like 6'5", but he was catching the ball down near his waist instead of out in front and as high as possible so he could snap his wrist and get it back. And if you wait and wait and wait and wait and then snap, that's kind of what I'm thinking about here. Scott, you do this insane, amazing version of this. When you do a forehand drop, you're on the left-hand side of the court, and you're dropping to your right or their left side player. So you're kind of dropping caddy corner and you do this lovely compact snap in the last millisecond of the shot. And it, man, does it make that ball duck down.
You referenced a word in that description, which was awesome. And you said brush. And had we stopped the pod like right before your comments there, I believe we'd have some confused listeners on the topic of whether we're imparting a direct hit to the ball or what I like to think of as a glancing blow, a brushing. We've referenced a clock face on this show before, and we don't want to hit the center of the clock. If I snap or move aggressively or violently into the center of the ball, whether this is a dink or a drop, it's going to significantly exceed my distance control. The ball is going to go too far. I'm looking to glance by the ball, brush the ball to impart the shape that I'm looking for. So for the example that you're mentioning from the baseline, I want that ball to move upward toward a predetermined apex, especially if I'm at the baseline. That apex is actually on my side of the net, pretty darn close to my kitchen line. I like to think of about 6 feet off the ground, but I'm imparting the topspin and the side spin on the ball so that it will dip and dive. I'm not interested in pushing and guiding and hoping and praying this ball and leaving it up to the wind or everything else outside of my own control. I want to be in charge. I want to wrap that ball in safety spin, and I want to practice it a lot on the ball machine so that I can do this shot under pressure.
Well, I think of this as a two-phase stroke. And this is maybe the big differentiating factor between what I'm trying to describe and something like a tennis type shot, where they're taking the paddle back and then stroking through in sort of one continuous stroke. What we'd rather see is two phases. The first phase is prep. The paddle is set, the body is set. You've bursted to the correct spot. You've made a very intentional, quick motion to get yourself, your body, and your paddle where they're supposed to be. Think of it like you running to get into your baseball stance if you could, except we're not actually getting into a baseball stance. That'd be really bad. Paddle is back appropriately so in a compact way. You've got there early, you've split step, you're super balanced, and you're ready to stroke the ball. Then the snap, which is the second phase of this. You've waited and waited and waited. The ball is now in your strike zone. It's right where you want to hit it, and you are very intentionally and confidently snapping through that ball to get the maximum amount of topspin and side spin to shape the ball. So if you guys are on court, all I want you to be thinking about is paddle speed, paddle speed, paddle speed. If you're trying to topspin the ball, have you quickly snapped through the actual contact of the ball? Or are you using one slow, continuous stroke? That's like the really big difference, I think, Scott, between the initial concept of the one-inch punch, where we're saying, yeah, absolutely accelerate through the ball. And then we're saying on this show, not only do you accelerate through the ball, but really get a brush snap on it to get the shape that we're looking for.
And to be clear, if we take too big of a backswing and then follow all of the instructions that you mentioned, the ball will go too far because we're playing with insufficient equipment to produce the maximum amount of Z's like we might be accustomed to on the tennis court. And the tennis court is huge. So we can afford a nice healthy backswing and still violently move through the hitting zone, imparting significant topspin on the ball on a really big court. So now that we've condensed everything down, whether this is a dink or a drop shot from the midcourt or the baseline, everything has to be compact in order to move aggressively or violently through the hitting zone with a term like snap. And then even still, if I hit the center of the clock face, the ball's going to go too far. So the movement of my paddle is not so much fore aft. It's closer to up down from an axis standpoint. I'm moving like one part forward, two parts up, and also around the ball. We've learned from experience that if I try to hit 6 o'clock on the clock face, the ball just doesn't spend enough time on the paddle. As a right-handed player hitting a forehand, I want to be targeting 5 o'clock or 4:30 on the clock face so that I can get the ball to dwell longer on the paddle such that I can produce a decent amount of Z's to get the ball to shape and to climb and dive to match the imagination that I had before hitting the shot.
You guys, it was so annoying. I was on that left side as Scott was dropping these balls into a bucket from my right side. He was on the left on his side. So he's doing this diagonal drop. And I remember just thinking, that is such a compact stroke. How are we going to describe this? Because it's not the same as just hit a third shot drop. And it's not a slicey third shot drop. This is a really, I don't want to say vicious, it's the wrong word, but it's a tough ball, man. If you get that thing to dip down at someone's feet and you put all that topspin on it, which you do, and you target it well, which you do, it's a really tough ball to handle because it looks like you're going to be able to take it out of the air. Then it just dips like a submarine. You're like, oh, I'm in big trouble here. And I think that's really the major upside of this kind of stroke that you really nail. You do it on dinks and you do it on drops, which is so cool. So one thing, Scott, is this is a really, really cool shot to drill. I can be standing at the non-volley zone on the left side of the court on my side. You can be at the baseline on your side. This is just for a third shot drop. And at least to begin with, let's do a forehand. So you're hitting a forehand third diagonally to your right and start experimenting with how far back you want to place your paddle and then how quickly you want to move through this strike zone. And if you guys experiment with that a little bit, where you're going quickly, try going slowly. When you hit it right and the thing just drops like a Scott Fliegelman submarine shot, then you know you did it. You got it well. And that's the thing you can continue to practice. But it is a infinitely satisfying shot to hit. And you are indeed the master, Scott.
Well, when I do get a chance to practice this, one of my favorite props is a 30-gallon or so Rubbermaid trash can. Because I really want to visualize this ball dropping. And again, I'm not hoping and praying it'll drop when gravity grabs a hold of it. I want to take charge of that by wrapping it in safety spin. But I put a bucket there or a trash can instead of a cone because I want it to come from at least 6.5 feet high. Ideally, that apex is on my side. And over again, just trying to drop that ball into the trash can. And I haven't had a whole lot of chance lately to do that, but I've got 10,000 reps, and that's why I'm able to replicate it.
And you nail them. And they're amazing. So I would try this, you guys, on forehand. I would try it if you guys have a twoie. Try it with your two-handed backhand roll. Get your paddle extended. Get it to where you want it to be in terms of the angle and the prep of your body. And then really snap through that to get the thing to drop. You and I worked on that as well, Scott. And I think I said these exact words. I said, man, I've got to work on my paddle speed. Because the way you're doing it and the way I'm doing it, I was doing this sort of slow, still accelerating through, but didn't have the snap at the end that you did. And it was evident in how the ball was traveling. So there's a real snap to this. And maybe we'll get an Instagram short on this so we can demonstrate this to everybody. If I'm not doing a good enough job articulating it, I'm trying. trying my best. All I want you guys to do is when you get to the court, think paddle speed, paddle speed, paddle speed. And I think that will start initiating. Am I snapping through this ball at the very last millisecond to get this thing to the shape that I want it?
And with that paddle speed, let's just try to remember one part forward, two parts up, not just straight through the ball. That'll just impart MPH. We need more RPMs and we need to brush up and around the ball, not just straight through that clock face.
Well, fantastic, Scott. Guys, I'm so happy you're here once again. If you haven't already, we're down 17% on, we just got a bunch of new stats for the podcast, so we can see exactly what's happening, but we're down 17% on reviews. So if you haven't ever gone to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and reviewed this very podcast that you're listening to, I hope you will. It's very helpful for us. It helps people discover the show, and we are still growing and growing and growing, and we have you to thank for that. So thank you guys so much for that. And with that, go out there on the court, think paddle speed, paddle speed, paddle speed, snap, 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 and go out and have some fun. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.